Good morning. I am so happy to be with you this morning. We will, of course, start with our daily word. So the daily word for October 25th is listen. In the quiet of my heart, I listen for the voice of Spirit. During the course of a busy day, I may hear all kinds of things, conversations, music, sounds from nature, traffic noise, and even my constant self-talk. Sometimes all that I'm hearing may numb me to the more intentional act of listening. As I listen, I become aware of the voice of Spirit. Its comforting, guiding presence feels like a homecoming. As I settle into a tranquil environment and begin to relax my body and my mind, I create a welcoming space for listening to the assuring voice of Spirit, discernible as my inner knowing. I breathe deeply and I rest in this space. I go about my day listening attentively for the voice of Spirit expressing through all the people in my life. The Bible quote is, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Luke 11:28. Greater than the thread of mighty armies is an idea whose time has come. Victor Hugo. This is the opening quote in the Unity Classic written by Eric Butterworth called Spiritual Economics, probably one of the best books I've ever read on prosperity. I discovered Unity through our inspirational reading of the Daily Word in 1978, and in 1982, I moved to New York City and was so fortunate to hear the author on Sunday mornings at Avery Fisher Hall at Lincoln Center. He was brilliant. Also in the introduction, I wanted to read this because I think it's such a great way to be introduced to Eric Butterworth's teaching. He says, "To get the most from this study, you will want to declare your independence from the belief that your personal welfare is completely tied to the economic fluctuations of the world out there. You will also want to establish yourself in the unassailable conviction that the free flow of substance can only be dammed up from within, and that no one can keep your good from you but you. Oh, how I don't want this to be true, and how true I know it is." This has occurred to me many times in my life, but one story really comes to mind that I wanted to tell today. I have been in the performing arts for, oh my gosh, most of my life, for the last almost 50 years. I started when I was very young. And in the performing arts, we do many things and we take many gigs, and some of them don't always pay. Well, a couple years ago, I had said yes to a gig that was way more work than it was pay. And this was not the first time this had happened. But after I did the gig and worked so hard, I was filled with resentment. I had a resentment, some self-pity, and some bewilderment. It's kind of like a fine reduction sauce. Resentment, self-pity, and bewilderment. Yum. And a friend of mine who knows and loves me enough to tell me the truth said, "That may be why I took the job in the first place." So I was curious, of course, and I knew this friend was right, because my ego is so involved and very crafty. My ego is the one that says yes immediately, and the part of me that will sort of introduce a resentment that I will focus on instead of the joy of the work and being open to more abundance. And my ego is a pro at this. And my ego is also sort of a pro at having it sort of appear that I'm just taking the gig because this is what I love and I don't really need the money. I don't have any needs. This is kind of, this is not a great thing. So, again, I was bewildered why this had happened yet again. So now, many of my teachers have said, don't ask why. Just don't get stuck in why this, why that. But if you absolutely can't help yourself from asking why, take your why into meditation and ask there. So I was so willing to finally hear what it was that kind of got me back to this space of working more than I was being paid for. And I went into meditation and I said, "Listen, I know where all my planets are, and my food plan is no gluten, no wheat, no dairy, no sugar, no fun. Why do I keep doing this? What's going on?" And the voice of guidance said, "It's all right here. It's all right here. You're not able to take it in." And oh, it was not the first time I had heard that. But guidance went on to say something that I did not hear before. And it said, "What do you feel you've done that would warrant this sort of punishment that you're taking from this much work without this much satisfaction or, you know, or abundance? What's that about?" And it wasn't saying it in a judgmental, you're not doing it right, which in early studies of truth, in my early days in Unity, my first bad day, and maybe you've had this experience too, my first bad day was like, hey, what did my wand break? What's the deal? Why is this hard? This is very difficult study, you know, because it asks us to take responsibility and to know that it's not about the world out there. It's about the world in here, and that I'm the only one who can keep my good at bay. There's no blame. And that's, oh my gosh, I once heard somebody say, you know, I just need food, shelter, and someone to blame to get through a day. And that is an old way of thinking. So I had to really dig deep. Unity asks us to dig deep. Spirit asks me to really go to the deep end when I ask why, because the answer is always there. There's always a spiritual answer. And I thought, okay, what is it that I feel is standing in the way? And I thought, I wonder if there's part of me that feels I need punishing for what I've done wrong, real or imagined. And by punishment, I mean, with a name like Mary Megan Margaret McDonough and being the, you know, seventh of nine kids, I'm sure it comes as no big surprise that, yes, I was raised Catholic. So penance, punishment, purgatory, another great reduction sauce, penance, punishment, and purgatory, the three Ps, is kind of it's where my thermostat got set when I was very young. And one of the things I think that I was maybe punishing myself for was a couple things. I had not sort of saved the day for my widowed mom and siblings when we were maybe in danger of losing our house. I went to California at 17 to be in the music business, and I was going to save the day. And I simply ran out of time. And looking back, it's really not the job of any 17-year-old kid to save anybody or any day. But I didn't know that at the time. And number two, there is some comfort in staying safe and in a control, you know, when you're sort of, this I can take in, this I can't. There is a sort of, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't have needs. It's a sort of, for me, a spiritual pride. Ooh, that's hard to look at for me, that sort of spiritual pride, which is just fear, you know, spiritual pride. I wanted to read this quote because God for me, spirit for me was sort of today, yes, tomorrow, maybe, that it was an off and on God, that it was a start and stop God. But I love this. God doesn't come and go. God doesn't capriciously move substance from God's supply up there to fill your need down here. Nor does God answer prayer in some special kind of coming forth. God is always present, totally present, as presence. You may be praying for healing, but the truth is, the whole of God life is present as healing presence. So right here, right now, wherever I am, wherever you are, we are like fish in water in God's presence. There's never lack in God's presence. So the voice was saying, it's all right here. All you have to do is open and allow it in. Oh my gosh. And that was a revelation, and my heart sort of leapt and sank at the same time of, I'm not sure I can do that, but I don't have to do it. I just have to let go and let Spirit do the work for me. I tell this story as a way of, I hope you're nodding your head and that you can relate, that the letting it in, the letting in the joy, the letting in the abundance, especially now, is not an easy thing to do, but it is doable. I remember another story of my Unity teaching coming into play in the form of vision and what do I see, what do I want? That is a very difficult question, I think, for all of us to ask. But what do I want? And I remember asking that question many times. I had been instructed by many coaches and many people to ask, what do I want? And I remember Edwin Gaines saying, make a list. And I remember putting a pink guitar on my list of things that I wanted. And I was in Japan. I had the great good fortune of going to Japan in 88 with a tour of a show. And I bought a pink electric guitar in Japan. So I have seen it work in my life. But I love this quote from Spiritual Economics. The faith required to demonstrate prosperity is not simply a pious pronouncement. It's not bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, although sometimes it felt like that in the beginning when I was a young truth student at Unity. It was like, ooh, I pink guitar, well, there's a pink guitar. but it is sort of a very cool manifestation part when you see demonstrations. I quickly learned that it's not all about the demonstration. It's about the faith. And so he goes on to say, faith is expectancy. You do not receive what you want. You do not receive what you pray for, not even what you say you have faith in. You will always receive what you actually expect. Whew. Again, this book is filled with such truths that when I read them, they go, oh, I get that. They go right to my heart. I wanted to tell the story about being in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. A friend had hired me to sing at a beautiful gala for which I was beautifully paid. And she was showing my sister and I around Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and it was just lovely. And she took us to a place, the gala was for a community outreach program that was very successful in helping people, helping the homeless, helping people in poverty get back on their feet. And she took us to a place called Martha's Task. And Martha's Task was a place, a wonderful place that would teach women sewing. And how to sew and design, you know, make things that they could sell at Martha's Task and earn money to pay for food, diapers. And as we were walking around, I saw a little section where there was a blackboard and chairs, obviously set up for a workshop or a talk. And on the blackboard was written the word vision. And I was so impressed. I thought, cool, vision, yes. First we have a vision, and then, you know, it's the expectation of faith. So I asked our tour guide, I said, tell me about this. And she said, oh, yes, a woman who came to Martha's Task to work and made it out of a dire situation, comes back to teach the women who are coming here. And this was a class that she had on goal setting and vision. I said, oh, that's fantastic. She said, unfortunately, she said something that I will never forget. And I hope I don't, because it keeps me knowing that it's difficult to have faith when we are raised in a poverty situation. She said, the women who come here, they find it very difficult to grasp the notion and the concept of a vision, because they were raised in poverty. And they were raised in poverty by parents who were raised in poverty. Generational poverty is the thing that is so hard to break. And financial trauma. There's so much talk now about healing trauma, financial trauma. So I know that we can all relate to times in our lives when we have not been able to take in the abundance, but really overcoming that mindset, again, where the thermostat has been set in childhood. But I know it is doable through these teachings. The last quote, or one of the last quotes from Butterworth on faith, is beautiful, I think. Be like the bird that, pausing in her flight while on boughs too slight, feels them give way beneath her and yet sings, knowing she hath wings. You may be surrounded by grim forebodings of job layoffs and of inflation and recession, or a pandemic, racial injustice, unrest, political unrest. How good it is to remind yourself often that your security is not in boughs too slight, but in your wings of faith, your intuitive relationship with the divine process that flows from within. Again, flows from within. In a changing world, you may not be able to keep difficulties from happening around you. You can't control the stock market or what happens to the dollar. Occasionally, figuratively speaking, you might even be in water over your head. But if you can swim, the deep water is not all that bad, is it? What is swimming but fun if you are not afraid of the water? So, my friends, I know that we are being called to the deep end, and we are up to the task. I really believe that with teachings like this. But I also know that we cannot do it alone. And I think that's the lesson for me. To take these principles, take these teachings, which are profound and are lifelong for me. It's a lifelong learning. But to run them by a spiritual advisor, your minister, your prayer practitioner, or just a trusted friend who will say, hey, maybe you took that gig so you could sort of chew on the resentment of that and keep and stay small. So to have a friend to run it by, but to not do it alone. And this leads me to something I wasn't sure I was going to presence, but I think it's important. And that is that when Donald Trump was a young boy, his father took him to to Norman Vincent Peale's Marble Collegiate Church. And he would hear Norman Vincent Peale's teaching. And Norman Vincent Peale was quite an influence on New Thought, because he was the power of positive thinking. And he knew that if he could control his mind and think positively, that he would succeed. I think it got over-baked. I think it became something that started as good and, wow, really sort of got out of hand when not tempered with guidance. Guidance from someone who maybe knew a little bit more. So I think what I'm saying is, let us not misuse this teaching. Edwin Gaines, my first prosperity teacher, would tell me, we are only given as much power as we can handle in love. And while I know that to be true for me, let me respect this power and these teachings, because they are powerful, and the faith that they take to withhold and to see made manifest is mighty. It's mighty. Its time has come, the idea of this sort of faith. So let's go within for prayer. I'd like to close with a prayer treatment for all of us, knowing that we go to center and know that there is one presence and one power in the universe and in our lives, God, the good, omnipotent. We know that there's God and only God, that we are one with this one and can never be separated from it. And it is from this place of oneness that I speak this word of healing treatment, knowing that all the love, life, light, power, peace, beauty, and joy of God is present in, as, and through us. That we move forth in faith, for this is one of the 12 powers that indwells us, the power of faith. We know what to do and when to do it, because we lead with faith, love, heart, guidance. We have so much strength, for God lives, moves, and has its being in, as, and through us. This is how God gets into the world. We are the hands and feet and voice of God. We take on this huge responsibility with faith, knowing we have all we need to fulfill the promise of love, peace, justice, harmony, and grace. This is already done in the mind of God, and we are so grateful. I deny any false belief contrary to this truth, that we are one with the one. We can never be separated from this one. And this one is all there is. There is nothing opposite God. There is only God, that we step into this with great faith and love. I release this treatment into the action of the law that always and only says, yes, 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 I thought you'd never ask. It is God's good pleasure to give this healing. I release this with great gratitude, saying, so be it, and so it is. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful day. God bless. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak today. This is sort of Unity Center of Light in Bowie is sort of my home away from home, my unity away from unity. So I'm very grateful to have been here. This last song is one of a song of faith. I didn't realize that when Moses and the Israelites got to the Red Sea, it didn't automatically part. No, Moses received further instruction from God to, in order for the Red Sea to part, that he and the Israelites would need to get in the water as a show of faith. I was like, oh my gosh. And while he and Aaron were negotiating and talking about this, a fellow named Nachshon thought, hey, I'll get in the water, see what happens. And it wasn't until the water was about right here that he cried out, What is the deal? I'm paraphrasing. What is the deal, God? You said, and then the water started to subside. I know that you have had the water up to here many times in your life, especially these days. So this is a song about that.
Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. Moses said, God, I hope you're listening, and in my heart I know you are. And I know you wouldn't leave us here after bringing us this far. But man, I gotta tell you, Lord, things are looking mighty tense. I've got Pharaoh and his boys behind me, and I don't see a hole in this fence. Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. And God said, Moses, you're full of greatness, and I've got big plans for you. But for now, I gotta tell you, Mo, this is what I want you to do. You gotta raise your staff and tell everyone they gotta get into the swim. 'Cause if you want that sea to part, my boy, you're gonna have to get in. Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. Now I've got daily seas to part, and I've got big cliffs to climb. And he may not be where I expect him, but he always shows up on time. Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. Moses had to put his foot in the water, foot in the water, foot in the water. Moses had to put his foot in the water before God would part that sea. Before God would part that sea. And he's always gonna part that sea.
So now it's time for our meditation. If you would relax into your seat. Close your eyes and just let ourselves be supported by the chair, knowing that leaving the world outside. As we know, this is the time to let love in, peace, guidance, oneness, with the one presence and the one power. God, the good omnipotent. And know all is well. Divinely guided.